Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You've heard the expression, work hard, play hard. Well, both working and enjoying are built into this life that God has given us. In Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon offers us wisdom for both areas, reminding us that both our work and play must be anchored in an accurate view of eternity and a submission to our Heavenly Father. Let's listen in.
So, what is the meaning of life? That's the most common question asked of human beings, you know. I did a little project this morning in the first service. Adam had his device out, and so I said, Adam, ask Google what the meaning of life is. And he did it. And Google responded, the meaning of life is to be excellent toward others and party on. Be excellent towards others and party on. Did you know that that is strikingly similar to the inspired word of the living God in Ecclesiastes 11? The title for this morning, as we study Ecclesiastes, the title is Life in a Nutshell. Now, it may surprise you this morning, but I'm going to cover a whole chapter. So put your seatbelts on. Chapter 11 is Life in a Nutshell because Solomon is now approaching his conclusion. It's very important that we understand everything that he says in light of the conclusions that he brings. So we understand that we live this life, we experience it under the sun. But constantly, throughout this book, this chapter notwithstanding, as no exception, he brings God as reference into our understanding of life under the sun. Because without God beyond the sun, we cannot make sense of this life. We cannot. We would be left to our own darkness and our own despair. So he's going to present to us what life is in a nutshell in chapter 11. Now, the chapter, as from my observation, is divided into two sections. Verses 1 to 6 and verses 7 through 10. And verse 10 is kind of the conclusion. Verses 1 to 6 and 7 through 10. Now, two main ideas here that he is talking about. And that is, what is true about life? A life well lived. A life of wisdom. And if you look at it, verses 1 to 6, the first is sowing and wonder. Each one has kind of a double focus, a double emphasis. And in verses 1 to 6, the double emphasis is sowing and wonder. Now, let's do some Bible study together here, okay? The first part of Bible study is what? You have to read. It's kind of a given, isn't it? And what do you do after you read? You read it again. Ha, I caught you on that one, didn't I? Right? You read it again. And then you do observation. And one of the things that you're going to observe are the things that are repeated. Themes or words that are repeated. Now, let's look at some of those in verses 1 to 6. Sowing and wonder. All right? First of all, let's look at sowing. Verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters. Verse 2, give a portion. Verse 3, the clouds empty themselves. Verse 4, talks about sowing. Verse 5, a child in the womb is a product of a sown seed. Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, at evening withhold not your hand. So sowing is a significant emphasis in these first six verses. A second one is the idea of wonder. Because there are some things that you do not know, you cannot know. Because you are not God. You are not the creator of what is. You are not the sustainer of what is. So let's observe those. There are four of them in these six verses. Verse 2, you know not what disaster may happen. Verse 5, there's two of them here in verse 5. You do not know the way of the Spirit. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. And then verse 6, you do not know which will prosper this or that. So two themes, one is sowing and the other is wonder. Because there are things that you do not know and you cannot know. So what is sowing now? Sowing is planting seed. You plant seed, and life grows from that. It's an investing. You're giving. You're producing. You're sowing seed in the sense of work, industry, and productivity, but also, and this is more important, or at least equally important, if not more important, you're sowing seed in terms of relationship and community. Significant part of life. You are a seed sower. But then there's the wonder here where it says, you do not know. How does this work? Every farmer knows you plant seed into the ground, you expect it to grow. How does that happen? You don't know. Now, you might be able to explain it to some degree scientifically, but you don't know how it happens. There's wonder there, isn't there? But also, not only do you not know how it happens, but you don't know the outcomes for sure. The seeds that we sow in terms of relationship, we don't know the outcomes of those things. We can't count on those calculated outcomes. So, when life is, since life is about sowing and wonder, with what attitude should we sow in life? First of all, we should sow with generosity. Verses 1 to 3. Sow with generosity. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. Sow with generosity. Be a giving person. Now listen, when you think of giving and generosity, our minds tend to immediately go to think to money. Stop it. That's the Bob Newhart form of counseling, right? Stop it. There's a whole lot more to life than money, right? There's a lot that you can give, namely, yourself. Your time. How about this? Your ears. Figuratively speaking. Right? Are you a sower? You are. We should sow with generosity. Because generosity reflects the character of God. But something that we learn from Solomon, beginning in verse 1 here, is that with generosity there is reciprocity. What goes around comes around. In other words, it's the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow generously, you will what? Reap generously. If you sow miserly, all this is mine. I mean, I'll give a little bit. But we do that with relationships, don't we? It's my life. I will spend it with whom I want to. Whatever people can do good for me. You see how we can be so self-centered in our relationships? We need to be sowing generously. Because if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You know one thing that looks like in terms of relationships? How many people over the years of ministry, how many people have walked away from a church because, well, you know, nobody really reached out to me. Did you reach out to anybody? Well, no, but there you go. And we're surprised at that. And we have such a tendency to look at how other people should be treating me and pay attention to me and meeting my needs. You know what that is? That's a consumer. You were designed to be a sower. And Solomon says, sow generously. Because there is a reciprocity to it. Jesus said this in Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The good words, aren't they? There's a reciprocity, but also you sow for purposes of benevolence. Verse 2, give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. There is always going to be need. And in our generosity, we should be generous widely. Widely. Diversified, if you will. But we are generous because we are meeting human need. That is a form of loving your neighbor. And you're preparing for the unknown. So we should be generous. Timothy, Paul says this very clearly to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In the present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. There it is, Solomon. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. What is that? Do you see that? Sowing. Paul says, it's not about consuming, it's about sowing. Planting seeds of generosity, of kindness, seeds of encouragement, seeds of help. It's sowing. There's a lesson that we learn from nature in verse 3. Solomon says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. See, they don't hold it all in. It's not all for them. The rain in the clouds isn't for their sake. They empty themselves. And it doesn't just say they dump all the water out. No, it says they empty themselves on the earth. What does that mean? It refreshes the earth. It nourishes. You see, even the clouds sow. They sow water. Proverbs says, he who waters will himself be watered. Isn't that a beautiful truth? You see, this reflects the character of God. When our default, our way of thinking is to be consumers, what can I gain? What can I acquire? How much pleasure can I receive? We should be, instead of looking at life as sowers, and learn these lessons from nature. What is the meaning of the end of verse 3? If a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. You read that on the surface, say, well, duh. But see, that's why context is so important. This is right in the context of generosity. What happens when a tree dies? I mean, when a tree falls. I just gave the answer away. It dies.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the One who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.